In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, one God, Amen. Glory be to the Father, to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, both now and unto the ages of all ages, Amen. Today, the Church celebrates Friday of the end of the Great Lent. And our meditation this afternoon will be inspired from the Gospel read for us. And it is the instance when the Pharisees came to our Lord saying to him that he should depart, for Herod wants to kill him. And our Lord Jesus said that his ministry is not completed, that he will journey today and tomorrow, and then the following day it will be concluded, and it should not be that any prophet should perish outside of Jerusalem. And the meditation is going to be focused or inspired from this next sentence, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. And our Lord Jesus continues by saying, the one who kills the prophets and stones those who are sent to her. How often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. See, your house is left to you desolate, and assuredly I say to you, you shall not see me until the time comes when you say, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. So our focus will be, or meditation will be, on this word, O Jerusalem, Jerusalem. We are going to look at Jerusalem historically. We are going to look at it contemporary. We're going to look at it as a symbol and as a type of the church. We're going to look at it as the heavenly domain or realm which is to come, the heavenly Jerusalem. And we're also going to consider it as each and every soul. Jerusalem is the one place on the face of the earth that has always been in the news. The one city that has made the news for the past thousands of years, maybe at least 3,000 years. It's a hot spot. And these few square kilometers, it's very small, not very large, yet it's always been a center of focus for so many nations and nationalities and religions, especially the monotheistic religions, being Judaism, Christianity, and Islam. The first mention of Jerusalem in the Old Testament was in reference when Abraham met with Melchizedek, and he was the king of Salem, or Shalem. And many archaeologists have said that these will be the foundations or the first mention of Jerusalem. It was, of course, a pre-Jewish city. And some of the archaeological discoveries date back all the way to the Bronze Age in 3000 BC or thereabouts. It is called the city of Shalom or the city of Shalem. So Shalom would be peace, so it's also called the city of peace. And the Hebrew root Shalem also means wholeness. Wholeness. So the city of wholeness, of peace, of perfection. Little bit later, around 1000 BC, David was anointed king of Israel, and he united the tribes of Israel, and he captured the city, and it became the ideal capital for his new kingdom. It became also the capital of the southern kingdom, which is Judea. Then we know that he placed there the Ark of the Covenant. It was in the residence of the city, and Jerusalem was transformed into both the political capital and the religious center of Israel. It did not only receive its glories at the time of David, but in the time of his son and successor Solomon, who consolidated Jerusalem's eternal religious significance for all Jews by building the first temple. it remained of great significance to the Jews until the 6th century BC, when Judah's ruler fought and were defeated by the Babylonians in about 586 BC. And this is when King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon occupied the city, and he destroyed the temple, and he exiled Jerusalem's population to Babylon. Then when the Persians defeated Babylon in 536, Cyrus the Great King allowed the Jewish exiles to return home. And the second temple was dedicated soon after under Nehemiah, who was appointed governor by the Persians in about approximately 445 BC. And the Jews rebuilt the walls of the temple and strengthened its fortification. And at the same time, reforms initiated by Ezra restored the authority of Jerusalem as the spiritual capital of Judaism. In the Hellenistic rule, and then the Maccabees, we hear of Alexander the Great's conquest of Jerusalem in about 333 BC, and he established the Hellenistic or the Greek monarchies. And the first new ruler was Ptolemies of Egypt, and he retained the existing Jewish religious and political leadership. And we know later in the Deuterocanonical books, you hear of the Maccabees, Judah Maccabee, who succeeded in liberating Jerusalem. And in about 165 BC, there was a dedication was celebrated, with the Jews again being permitted to worship in the temple. Some of the history I'm mentioning, because when we get into the more personal issues, when we try to relate Jerusalem to us, to me, we will see the ups and the downs, moments of liberation, self-rule, and moments of captivity of Jerusalem. And in many ways, this relates to us. And then there was the Roman rule that followed. And in about 63 BC, Pompey imposed Roman rule in Jerusalem. And in 37 BC, Roman hegemony was firmly established with the appointment of Herod as king of Judea. And Jerusalem started to see part of its glory. It's estimated that the population of Jerusalem reached from 120,000 to 200,000 under Herod's rule. Then again, the second fall of Jerusalem. After Herod's death, Judea became a Roman province. So again, Jerusalem is the capital of Judea. And Jerusalem was governed by Roman procurators residing in Caesarea and ceased to function as the capital of Judea. So it moved around, it wasn't anymore the capital of Judea. And the next few decades were marked by eruption of sporadic riots in Jerusalem, usually resulting in so many clashes. Afterwards, we hear, of course, of the great destruction of Jerusalem, which occurred around the year 70 AD. By the middle of the first century, the Jews of Israel had begun fought to liberate their country and capital, but their war against the Romans ended in 70 AD when the armies of Titus conquered the city and destroyed the temple. Most residents of Jerusalem had either been killed or had perished from hunger during the Roman siege. This bit of history, of course, in the past 20 centuries, Jerusalem went through many ups and downs until maybe the year 1948, when Israel was promised a land. And again, this was fully realized in 1967 when they fully occupied Jerusalem. And there's still, up until this day, so many conflicts between the Muslim Arabs and the Jews. Biblically speaking, the Jews always connected to Jerusalem. And that's why our Lord Jesus, during his entire life, was always connected, going back and forth, visiting Jerusalem. And his entrance into Jerusalem on Palm Sunday wasn't his first. So Jerusalem was of significance to the Jews, and they always prayed for its peace and prosperity. And let me just give you an example from Psalm 122. David the prophet says, I was glad when they said to me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Our feet have been standing within your gates, O Jerusalem. Jerusalem is built as a city that is compact together, where the tribes go up, the tribes of the Lord, to the testimony of Israel. So it was a big meeting place for all the tribes united under David. And pray for the peace of Jerusalem. May they prosper who love you. And this prayer still stands maybe 3,000 years, 2,000 and then 1,000 BC. Everyone is still praying for the peace of Jerusalem up until this day. Because if there is peace in Jerusalem, there would probably be peace in the whole world. For the sake of my brethren and companions, I will now say, peace be within you. Because of the house of the Lord our God, I will seek your good. Another wonderful psalm, which is probably not written by David the prophet, is Psalm 137. And in this particular psalm, probably was written maybe by Ezra, and it was written during the captivity of Israel. Because those who have taken them captive from Jerusalem are asking them to sing one of the songs. They had so many lovely songs played on the harp and the flute. But he is asking, how is it possible that we can sing to the Lord a song outside of Jerusalem? So it was like the heart of God. This is the place that they went up to meet with God. And the psalm says, by the rivers of Babylon, there we sat down, ye we wept, when we remembered Zion. Zion is the mountain upon which the city of Jerusalem is built. So that's why it's sometimes referred to as Zion. We hung our harps upon the willows in the midst of it. For there those who carried us away captive asked of us a song. So the captives have asked the POWs, the prisoners of war, to sing for them a song. But they have hung all their harps and they are not in the mood to sing. And they said to them, and those who plundered us requested mirth, saying, sing us one of songs of Zion. But then he goes to ask himself, how shall we sing the Lord's song in a foreign land? How is it possible to sing the song of Jerusalem in the land of captivity? If I forget you, O Jerusalem, let my right hand forget its skill. If I do not remember you, let my tongue cling to the root of my mouth. If I do not exalt Jerusalem above my chief joy. For us as Christians, Jerusalem also has, we are connected to it, because there are so many holy sites and events that occurred in or around Jerusalem. We know that our Lord Jesus was crucified and resurrected in and around Jerusalem. The Holy Spirit descended on the disciples in Jerusalem, and the church was born there. There are also many holy sites in or around it. The Garden of Gethsemane, commemorating our Lord Jesus' prayer and arrest, and the Church of the Holy Sepulchre, and it is said to be where our Lord Jesus was crucified and buried. The Garden Tomb, and it's a burial site. And also for the Jews, this is the Wailing Wall where the temple once stood, and so many other holy places in or around Jerusalem. Jerusalem was referred to by our Lord Jesus as the place where most of the prophets and those who were sent to her were excommunicated. Unfortunately, because the religious leadership, and by the first century there was a great dispute between the Pharisees and the Sadducees, two different denominations, this infiltrated into the everyday life of the Jewish practice. There were many prophets who were sent to warn those of the Jews to return back to God and not to be very far from Him. But unfortunately, they ended up killing them and casting them away, starting from the Old Testament all the way to the life of the time of our Lord Jesus. Jerusalem was the place where prophets were killed and stoned, everyone who was sent to her. Our Lord Jesus claims that Jerusalem, He looked at her with pity because it was the city of the great king. It was the place where the old glories of the Jewish nation had been. And again, because of the moments of weakness, it had fell captive. And everyone was always looking back to the time of David, when the whole kingdom, the northern and the southern, was united and brought forth and to worship in that place of Jerusalem. But then it has its ups and downs, destruction and captivity. And the Lord Jesus yearned to collect all those people in his faith and in his belief. And he said, and by the way, this is one of the few mentions of God as a mother. Sometimes as a mother that comforts her children. So from a female perspective, this is something here that our Lord Jesus mentioned, that how often I wanted to gather your children together as a hen gathers her brood under her wings, but you were not willing. And the first question we want to ask ourselves today in terms of Jerusalem being a type of my own life and my own soul, our Lord Jesus, who has brought glory to Jerusalem, if I say that I am the new Jerusalem, that Jerusalem is my life, it is you and I, it is the place where the great King dwells, it is the dwelling place of the temple where sacrifices are offered. And our Lord Jesus says that, don't you know that you are the temple of God and the Holy Spirit abides in you? Where the temple of God dwelt, or its place was in Jerusalem. When the temple of God was in ruins, Jerusalem was being humiliated. And when the temple of God was at its glories, all the Judeans and the Israelites were living a glorious life. So at the end of this holy 40 days of the Great Lent, I need to ask myself, the things that I have promised the Lord in these past few weeks, have I fulfilled them? I promised you, O Lord, that I will return back to the Holy Scriptures, and I will take away and cast away all kinds of failures and all kinds of defeat from the enemy, and I will overcome all the conspiracies of the evil one. Have I been able to do it? Am I starting to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, just like in the times of Nehemiah? O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, our Lord Jesus calls to each and every one of us today. What is keeping Jerusalem, you and I, from being in full fellowship with our Lord Jesus? Is it my sins? Is it my desires? What is still separating me from Him? I need to search, O you who searches Jerusalem with a lamp. I need to allow the Lord Jesus to open up the doors of my heart and search inside of it to see where and how can He enter so that Jerusalem could become a glorious city once more. Jerusalem is also a representative of the church. The church is called the New Jerusalem. And our Lord Jesus gave us His new commandment. And when He sent down the Holy Spirit in Jerusalem, the church was born there. And there is a new living Jerusalem in the church, with its temple of God being the church, where you offer sacrifices, where we partake of the holy mysteries, where we are united together in His body and His blood, where we have fellowship and oneness. One of the readings today focused, especially in the book of Acts, on how there is no more distinction between Jew and Gentile. Well, this is the new Jerusalem, the house of God, the temple of God, where we come together to rebuild its walls. It is the place where our Lord Jesus had shed His blood in order to give it life. And thus we can call the church the new Jerusalem. And also in the book of Revelation, we see the image of the heaven being called the new Jerusalem. It is the place of peace where God dwells with His people forever and ever. And I love so much the imagery that is given at the end of the book of Revelation, especially in chapter 21. And John the Divine says, "Now I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth has passed away. Also there was no more sea. Then I, John, saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from heaven saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and He will dwell with them, and they shall be His people. God Himself will be with them and be their God, and God will wipe away every tear from their eyes. There shall be no more death, nor sorrow, nor crying. There shall be no more pain, for the former things have passed away." This is the new Jerusalem, the heavenly kingdom, the place where God will dwell with His people forever and ever, the heavenly kingdom, the place where He will wipe away every tear from our eyes. And that's why we come at the end of this great Lent, and our Lord Jesus looks with yearning to Jerusalem, and he sees in it the potential, but he sees in it also the resistance. And I want to ask myself, where am I in terms of being this new Jerusalem, the place where God wants to dwell? Am I still resisting him and pushing him away? Or have these past 40 days really softened my heart and allowed me to search inside of me to see what is preventing me from being in full fellowship with him? If my pride is still preventing me from being in full fellowship with him, I need to deal with that immediately. I need to allow the gates of Jerusalem to be open, to tell him, Lord Jesus, come in to stay, and do not even leave, because I want you to be Lord and Master and King. You are not just like the old David who was king over Jerusalem. You are the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And I will praise you with those little children on Sunday telling you, Hosanna in the highest, Hosanna to the King of Israel. Come, O Lord, and reign. You are also master of your church. You are also the one who has given us as a church, as a community, your body and your blood, so that we may dwell in you and enjoy your fellowship. And finally, O Lord, we look forward to dwell with you in Jerusalem, in that the heavenly Jerusalem, that beautiful place that is still awaits all of us. May our hearts and our homes be transformed to become like the new Jerusalem, the heavenly Jerusalem, the one that has accepted the Lord Jesus as Lord and King and Master. May we never close our hearts or our gates when he comes knocking on it, to allow him to come in to be ruler and master. May the Lord bless us, and may we become like the heavenly Jerusalem all the days of our lives. And glory be to God forever and ever. Amen.